When I was about 5 or 6 years old, I had an imaginary friend named Mr. Bigsby. And I told my mother that Mr. Bigsby was a little doctor, and that when he would appear, when he would come visit me, he would show up as a floating ball of light in my bedroom. Now, about the same time that Mr. Bigsby was around, I started having horrible nightmares. My mother describes coming into my bedroom and seeing me pointing at something that only I could see, my eyes bugging out of my head, my mouth wide open, trying to scream, but so scared that no sound was actually coming out of my mouth. And what my mother didn't understand, she didn't understand why I was so afraid of my bedroom, of being in my bedroom every night. And I was too young. I didn't have the words to explain to her why I was so scared. But I knew what it was, and it was because Mr. Bigsby had gone bad. So we all have memories from when we're kids. And, you know, a lot of these memories, especially from that age, are kind of fuzzy and vague. And you know, maybe they're not really memories at all. Maybe we just confabulated this stuff. But I was going through some really weird, dark experiences back then. And I actually remember these experiences extremely well, to the point where they seem like they almost happened yesterday. I mean, even throughout my entire life, I can recall these particular moments. And I'll share one with you now. My bedroom was at the end of a hallway, and the door was always propped open with a little plastic red doggy bank full of pennies. Never forget that little bank. At the other end of the hallway, my parents were sitting watching television on a flickering old black and white TV. And I'm standing in the middle of the hallway, and I'm looking in my bedroom, and I know with absolute certainty that Mr. Bigsby is waiting for me in my bedroom. And as always, when he showed up, the bedroom filled up with light. And as the bedroom got lighter, a wave of fear would wash over me, and my body would start to vibrate. And as my body vibrated more and more and the light got brighter and brighter, this buzzing sound would start in my head, and it would just get louder and louder and louder until finally I fell down on the floor, unconscious. I mean, it was literally scared to the point of unconsciousness. And, you know, I don't know how long I was down there on the floor, but I do remember the first thing that when I came back to consciousness, as I lifted my head up, was looking right in the eyes of that little red doggy bank full of pennies. Okay? So, yeah, weird. Well, as I got a little bit older, when I learned how to read, I started picking up the books that my father would have lying around the house. And, you know, he was like a real salt-of-the-earth, blue-collar guy, no-bullshit kind of guy. But he was always reading books about ghosts and UFOs and other paranormal stuff. So one day I asked him, I said, "Dad, you know, why do you read so much of this stuff? Did something weird happen to you?" And he said, "Yeah, when I was a kid, I saw a face, a glowing face floating at the bottom of my bed." And he said, "I wasn't asleep. I wasn't dreaming. I was as awake as I am now, and that face was as real as your face is right now." So we'll go forward a little bit. A few years ago, my youngest daughter started having night terrors, okay? If I could back up a little bit, my pediatrician, when I was having these weird experiences, one of which included, after one of these episodes, waking up at the bottom of the basement stairs okay, in the middle of the night. Now think about that. At that age, 5, 6 years old, waking up, coming to consciousness at the bottom of your basement stairs in the pitch black, I ran to my parents' room, screaming my head off. And they got a little worried, you know? I mean, naturally, you get a little worried when these things are happening to your kid. My pediatrician said, well, you know, it's night terrors. It's normal. It's a natural thing, and he's going to grow out of it, and you have nothing to worry about. Well, a few years ago, my youngest daughter starts having night terrors. She's screaming in the middle of the night. My wife and I run into her bedroom, and she's in this weird state kind of between consciousness and unconsciousness. And the more we try to sort of console her, the crazier she gets and the more she's screaming. So we can't get through to her. We can't get in her head. So we just have to, eventually we learn to just sort of helplessly watch until she got through it, until she got past it. And that's all we could do. Well, she started becoming terrified of her bedroom, which seemed really familiar to me, and especially mirrors. She would make us cover the mirror on her vanity in her bedroom before she would go to sleep. And she didn't mention Mr. Bigsby, so that was good. You know, that would have probably pushed me a little over the edge. But when she mentioned a recurring figure in her dream called Mercury, maybe where she got that from, I don't know, who chased her through her dreams, that kind of chilled me. And eventually, she got so scared of being in her bedroom, she would pull her covers over her head, even in the middle of a hot summer night, and just sweat under her covers because she could not bring herself to look at what she was seeing in her room. And to this day, she still sleeps with her covers over her head. So I started thinking about this, like, what is this? Is this something genetic? You know, I think of my father's experience, and I think of the things I experienced and the things that it seems like my daughter is also experiencing. Is this some weird torch that gets passed down from generation to generation? I don't know. You know, but really, what were these experiences? I mean, I've spent my whole life trying to figure out what happened in that bedroom 4 decades ago that still sticks with me, that still chills me when I think about it. And people have offered all sorts of explanations when I've talked about it, everything from, well, you had an overactive imagination, to, well, maybe you have temporal lobe epilepsy. It's sleep paralysis, you know, which I've experienced, and that's pretty awful, scary too. Hey, it's demonic possession. Or it's alien abduction. And, you know, I would love to grab on to any of those explanations. I would be comforted to grab on to any one of those explanations because I would have something to hold on to. But I don't. I don't have anything to hold on to. I don't have any answers. And is it, you know, some people say, well, it's a gift, you know, or it's a curse when these sorts of things happen to you. Or maybe it's both. I know for one thing, my idea of reality is a lot more expansive having had these things happen to me. I mean, a lot of people will draw a very straight line, a very thin line between what's real and what's imaginary. But to me, it's just this big, murky abyss. And maybe ultimately, I don't have an answer. Maybe there is no answer, and maybe I'll never have any answer. And I have to accept that. I have to live with that. But when I walk past my daughter's bedroom at night, and she has her covers over her head, and I realize there is absolutely nothing I can do to comfort her. There is no answer I can give to her. Whatever she's experiencing it alone. And I have to live with that too. Thank you.